When you do jokes about New Jersey, in New Jersey, the audience reacts well. What reacts well? How about when you do that same hunk in Connecticut, New York, or Pennsylvania?
Well, it's interesting because I've had a... There is a thing about the license. It works very well, of course, obviously, in those places because to them, Jersey people are the enemy. When they see the Jersey license plate, there's all those jokes about Jersey drivers. But Jersey, you know, it's wonderful. People have this wonderful capacity to want to make fun of themselves. I have noticed when you travel somewhere, if a local person is picking you up and taking you somewhere, or if you have reason to talk to a local person in Altoona or Minnesota or Raleigh or anywhere, they will tend to be self-effacing about their locale. They'll say, well, of course, what are you doing? What are you doing in Raleigh? You know, nothing ever happens in Raleigh. Oh, yeah, since I'm Raleigh or something. They love to say these things, but if you attack their place, they'll spring to its defense. They have this wonderful two-sided thing.
That leads me, isn't it the tendency of people to laugh louder at people in another state or place than being able to laugh at themselves?
Yes, it generally is. When you're alone with them, they'll put down their own place. But in a group, they'll defend it. There's something about it. Yeah, it's like that thing from the old Mad magazine. I guess it was Crime Suspense Stories. You know, two guys will argue until a third guy comes along, and then if he argues with them, they'll band together, and then if the next block and the block and the block. So if the Russians in the United States were attacked by Martians, we'd be okay. So, there is that. It's funny, and it's funny how prejudice is even within a group. You can't call a guy a nigger. I'm doing a thing on stage about this, too, about these words, wop, nigger, spick, kike, and all that. And you can't call a guy a nigger if you're not one. But if you are one, hey, that's, you know, you see, then it becomes a term of opprobrium within their group. It means a lesser black guy. Jews are like that. I heard about a Jewish guy told me once, he said he was in an accident on the Long Island Expressway, and the guy says, you're lucky you're not a Syrian Jew, you fuck, because I would have, you know, even within the Jewish, within any group, they have lesser people.
Or that they think of as lesser people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any specific segment of the American population or a specific group that you feel is your best audience?
No, I like my cross-section. I've been around long enough that I have a pretty broad base now. We have kids as young as 12 in our audience, and I have people with gray hair in the same audience. Depending on the type of theater, there'll be more older people. Suburban theaters, there's more of them. Downtown, it's more of a younger crowd. College audiences are not... They do not live up to their reputation, I find. In these, now, maybe more true of these days, or I maybe have become more sophisticated. I find them not as worldly. And it's obviously true. That's why they're there, to learn about the world. They're not as worldly. They're not as risk-taking. They'll give me a moan or a groan on some questionable piece of taste faster than a cross-section adult audience will. For instance, when I say... I got a joke. Things you never see, things you never hear. I don't know which one it is, but I have a joke that just crosses the line of taste a little bit, and it's not a dirty word necessarily. It's something in life, you know. They'll go ugh, whereas the adult audience will accept it.
And I think that's also a sign of our times. I think the younger people growing up today, for some strange reason, have become much more sensitized to ethnic slurs or things for some strange reason.
Yeah.
How would you characterize the perfect audience for you?
Well, I couldn't say that. If, as long as there are people who have come there with a knowledge of who I am and the way I work, they're going to be the most open to what I do. I mean, that stands to reason. People don't pay whatever it is, $15 for a concert ticket and wait 3 or 4 weeks for you to come into town unless they like you. So I just want my people. I don't like these there are a few people who'll get, you know, beard up on the second show. It's the old story. They're not true hecklers because they don't say witty things. They just yell your name. Right in the middle of a wonderful piece you're doing, some guy will yell, "Hey, George!" Yeah. But I just go past them. Sometimes I attack them head on.
Is there a region or a section of the United States that you like to play best?
Not really. It's true that the smaller the town or the more conservative the area, the more restraint people will have. But they're still my people from that section. If the given level of conservatism is higher, I'm still getting my share of that pie, which is less conservative than the people running the stores there.
You know? Is it possible that at a concert today you might be getting a husband and wife who may have seen you in college 15 years ago and maybe are bringing a cousin who wasn't at school and said, you got to see this guy?
Yeah, and I'll get people who've only seen me on Carson, and but they've heard about the language and everything, but they've maybe never seen an HBO show or heard an album. And it's one of the most fascinating to me and one of the most satisfying things about having a long career is everybody who meets you wants to tell you when they saw you. I saw you, hold on, I saw you at Ball State College in Muncie in 1971. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, and of course we do that in personal relationships, too, the last time we met.
Yeah, yeah.